Rock. Rim Rock is recovery. And we got Dr. Malcolm on the phone here. We're going to talk to her as soon as I give you weather. It's 75 right now. Today, we're looking at about 100 degrees for the high, and then 95 tomorrow, 96 Thursday, 92 on Friday, 98 Saturday, 94 Sunday, Monday about 99, and then Tuesday, 92 as well. So it's going to get warm out there, and today's especially going to be very hot. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Dr. Malcolm on the phone. Dr. Malcolm Horn. I want to use her full name, PhD, LCSW, MAC, SAP.
Oh, it's too many.
She's got
ASAP.
She's got ASAP. Yeah, FYI, BRB, BYOB. Yes, she does it all, you guys. Dr. Malcolm, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good. I feel like, I mean, a little hot out there for me. As a bigger guy, I don't do well in the heat, but other than that, we're doing well. Today, Dr. Malcolm, I'm very excited because we're going to kind of focus on anxiety today. I'm somebody who struggles with anxiety. I've been diagnosed with anxiety. I don't know if you believe in it or not.
I have anxiety. I've been diagnosed with anxiety. Welcome to the club.
Look at us go. Well,
and I'm undiagnosed. Yay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He doesn't like to know what's going on. Well, let's start, Dr. Malcolm. Mariah. Tell people, what is anxiety? I mean, let's just start with that.
Let's start with the basics. So anxiety is a normal human emotion that is healthy to have, right? Anxiety helps us know that we might not be safe or that we might be uncomfortable. It can be very life-preserving. So a good example might be I was actually rear-ended when I was like 23, screwed up the back of my car, I had whiplash. And so for weeks afterwards, if a car got too close, like I could see in the rearview mirror, a car was too close, right, my heart rate would speed up, I'd clench the steering wheel a little bit, my body was saying, oh my gosh, this could happen again, right? That's an example of how anxiety can be very healthy for us, right? It helps keep us alive. It helps tell us you might not be okay right now. The problem is that for a lot of us, anxiety becomes what we use in the psychology field of outside normal limits, right? And it's normal to have some anxiety. But some of us, the anxiety becomes more than what would be normally acceptable. And so it might lead to people feeling like they have panic. You might have a panic attack. And some extreme cases, there's one of the disorders called agoraphobia, where you really have a lot of anxiety about leaving the house. Anxiety might be, people with obsessive compulsive disorder might have a lot of anxiety about germs, cleanliness, things like that. And so anxiety can manifest in lots of different ways. But it's important for people to recognize that anxiety is normal and healthy. So we just have to be aware of, when is it getting to be too much? When is it outside of our normal limits? And then what do we do about it? Right? And people say, well, I got to avoid everything that makes me anxious. Well, then you're going to be avoiding a lot of things. Yeah. It's more important to learn about, okay, this is what anxiety feels like. How do I cope with it? Right? Because I can't just ignore it. That's not going to be helpful. I have to figure out, what do I do about it? How do I help myself with it? So that's kind of just like a little, right? And it's pretty common. I would think particularly, and I've noticed a lot of my patients as well as a lot of my staff, particularly in the last, 4 or 6 months, since March, since COVID-19, the baseline of anxiety for people is up, right? Because we have a lot of stressors going on right now in our world. And so people who already have kind of a foundation of anxiety are seeing an increase in some of their symptoms and the severity of some of their symptoms just because of the world around us right now.
That's a great question. I think you really illustrated, what it is and what it looks like and, how it's natural and how we all have, anxiety to some extent. What's that line? Can you describe for people the line between what's normal, healthy, just human anxiety and what's like, medically diagnosable anxiety that needs to be treated?
So if I really wanted to be very specific, I could get out my diagnostic statistical manual, my DSM, published by the American Psychiatric Association, and they have very specific timelines. Like if you have this type of symptom or this behavior for a period of 2 weeks or for however many months, they can be very specific about their timelines. What I do with patients, because honestly, patients, very few of them, how many weeks have you been feeling like this? They're like, well, I don't know, huh? They have to think about it, right? Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is, I care about the time, but I don't. I care about, what is it feeling like? How is it getting in the way of your life? That's what I look for. Is this getting in the way of your life? Is it getting in the way of you being able to go to work? Is it getting in the way of you being able to take care of your kids? Is it getting in the way of you just enjoying your life, right? Do you find yourself worrying obsessively about certain things? Do you find yourself not being able to sleep? I think one of the things that people don't always understand about mental health issues, and anxiety is a great example of this, is it's not what just in your head, quote unquote, right? There's often very physical manifestations for mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
And anxiety is a perfect example, right? People might have actual panic attacks. My mom, you know, thank you, Mom, for giving me anxiety. I appreciate that genetic gift. She has actually worked herself into feeling like she had a heart attack and has gone to the hospital thinking she had a heart attack, but no, it was panic. And so there's a, you know, people break out in hives. People may not sleep well. They may have stomach ulcers or struggling with having appetite. So I look at those types of things, right? Because really, I'm treating the symptoms. That's what I do. I'm not necessarily, I mean, I care about the diagnosis. Obviously, I need that. I need to drop a bill. But what I care about is, okay, what are these symptoms? What do they look like in your life? How are they impacting you? And let's try to figure out some very specific coping tools to help you individually.
How often is it, obviously coping tools are, you know, probably a first step and an easy step. You know, I mean, there's no harm, no foul there. Do you try coping steps and then medication? Can medication be a first step? How do you decide whether it's something we can just deal with, you know, practice and, you know, some lessons and some tips or medication?
It's really, what is the patient going to work? I mean, I know, shocker, here at Rimrock, we try to do individualized person-centered care. One person with anxiety is going to look very different than another person with anxiety. Some people really say, well, you know, those coping skills are nice, but I'd really rather take a pill. Okay. You know, we have a team of people here that can help with the medication, or if they already have a doctor in their community, you know, we can coordinate the care with that doctor. One of the things that I think people are surprised about when it comes to, and it's usually your SSRIs, your sertraline, your fluoxetine, that are helpful in addressing anxiety. But they're really more effective when you combine them with behavioral therapy.
Okay.
So the SSRI, the pharmacology, the medication might be very effective, but what we know is that it works much better when you do it in conjunction with behavior change, with coping tools. People don't always recognize that. It's kind of like saying, if you really want to lose weight, don't just diet and exercise, right? You got to do both. So that's what, you know, I say to the patient, what's going to work best for you? And a lot of times they've tried medications. A lot of times they've gone to their general doctor and they've struggled. And so therefore they say, well, you know, I've tried this. It's still not working. And so it's really, what is the patient going to want to do? What can they do? One of the things I like to tell people is that just because you start a medication doesn't mean you have to stay on it for the rest of your life. I think people get scared about that too. They think, well, my gosh, if they give me a medication, I'm going to be stuck on this for the rest of my life. Well, not necessarily. What I often see is that people, you know, they're really struggling. Let's just say right now, let's say someone is really struggling with, okay, are my kids going back to school? Okay, if they go back to school, what if they get sick? Okay, maybe I keep them at home, but then can we do the homeschooling and go to work and all of that stuff, right? A lot of anxiety, a lot of stuff going on. And when we say, okay, let's try some therapy. Let's try some coping tools. Maybe your doctor does give you some medication. Let's try that. In 3 months, let's see where we're at. And in 3 months, hey, things are going great. Okay, let's keep doing that for a few more months. Maybe after a year or two, they say, you know what? I've been practicing these coping skills for years. I feel like I can do it without medication. Great, let's try that. And if you go off the medication, if you work with your doctor and come off the medication and then say, you know what? I think I'm doing really good. That is awesome. And then if you get like a resurgence of the symptoms, you know, okay, I have that tool. I can go back to my doctor and say, hey, I want to try this medication again because I'm going through some stressors in my life.
Perfect.
So it really can be very flexible, and it's not cookie cutter.
I'm glad you talked about phasing off, too. So just, I've got to ask, since you know this stuff, paroxetine, Paxil, the brand name, that is what I take. So that's a common anxiety medication?
One of the common ones,
And not anything, you're not going to say, oh my gosh, don't take that, you're going to poop out your liver or something. There's no crazy things I need to worry about?
Well, you're going to sprout a second head.
Okay, good.
Well, I've already, just so that you know, in about a month, you're going to turn purple. So just be aware of that.
Okay. His first head is already so inflated and already so big. Do we have to worry about that with the second one?
I love it. But what I did love with you bringing that up, and also you brought up working with your doctor. I had to try multiple medications before I found out what worked for me. But also, for anybody that takes something like a paroxetine or any sort of a medication, you hit on something very good, especially for me as a guy. We don't think about things, and we also, medical care for us is something we think about less than probably most people. I would do the thing where I'm like, man, I feel pretty good. It's been a few years. I should stop taking this. And just see what happens and see how I feel. And I will tell you, I mean, once after a few days, when I Google what it feels like to go through withdrawals from paroxetine, like, it is a hell. Oh my gosh. Like, I have never felt such a weird body feeling when you try to just clean cut off of that pill. So
yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson now.
Right? And those medications have side effects, right? And what I think is sometimes hard is that some of the side effects are also symptoms of anxiety, right? Stomach upset is a common one. Headache is a common one. A lot of times people who have anxiety have headaches. They have stomach aches. I know for me, I'm a jaw clencher. I clench my jaw. And so I will get headaches. And I'm like, why do I have a headache? Oh, well, I'm stressed out and anxious. So I'm not taking care of myself. Oh, well, go figure. So, you know, we really have to be aware of the symptoms. And often those symptoms will go away after a couple weeks, but sometimes they don't. And so, sometimes you have to try something else and see what else is going to work.
There you go. And, I mean, there's so many different options, though. And that's the thing, I feel like people get sick and they go to a doctor and they assume, like, well, this is a normal, it's a physician. They're going to tell me what's wrong with me and how to treat it. But when it comes to mental health, they don't realize that there's not just a one-size-fits-all. It's not like, oh, I don't want to take a pill so I won't go in and get help. Because maybe it's not a pill. Like you said, maybe it's just therapy. Maybe it's coping mechanisms. Maybe there are so many different tools in the toolbox up there at Rimrock that if you've got something going on, whether you know if it's depression or know that it's anxiety or don't have any clue what it is and are just having symptoms – that's what's great about meeting with somebody like Dr. Malcolm or the crew up there. I mean, you guys, obviously, you got your DSM right there. You're trained and you'll help people figure out specifically what's going on with them. And then obviously you're not going to force somebody to take a medication if they don't want to. Or, you're going to find ways that work for them to just live a better, healthier, happier life.
Right. I mean, that's the goal. We want people, I want everybody to be okay and to recognize it's okay sometimes to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the things that, at least in Montana, we tend to have this like cowboy up mentality. I think particularly for men, they have this idea like you can't be weak. You can't cry. You can't, like, everything's got to be okay. And it's really important that people recognize you don't have to be okay. It's okay to not be okay. So, what do you need? What do you want? What do you need? How can we help you try to get what that is? And I think it's important for people to recognize that we are in unprecedented times. The level of stress, not just COVID-19. This is a political season. This is an election year. That stresses people out. There are so many stressors going on right now for people. And I think we get used to just being able to say, oh, it's fine. Oh, yep, I can do that. Yep, no, not a problem. We try to stuff it aside. And then we end up self-medicating often. People, whether it's using a substance, whether it's playing video games, whether it's, Candy Crush on your phone. We're all trying to seek some escape, some relief from those stressors. And that's okay, right? Who wants to be stressed out all the time? So we really need to be able to say, do I want to do something different? And then recognize you do have options.
Absolutely. Somebody has a really, really good... Oh, but also, by the way, you said we're not fine. We all have, we're all messy. We all go through stuff. That's why I'm such a wreck, a wreck on this show. Not because I'm actually a wreck as a human. I'm just trying to illustrate on behalf
of
Rimrock.
Ratings.
Yeah, that it's just, I want people to know it's okay to not be okay. So really, I'm okay. When I say what a mess I am, that's just to make everybody else feel more comfortable. But also,
we appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Somebody said, what would you suggest, Dr. Malcolm, for children with anxiety? I've realized after all the COVID stuff,
question.
My 10-year-old son is super
anxious. Process things way differently. So as adults, most of the time adults, sometimes adults act like they're children, right? We won't say names there. But most of the time, kids are going to manifest anxiety, depression. They're going to manifest things a little bit differently. Their brain is wired differently, right? Their frontal lobe isn't fully developed yet. And so kids often might look different. Kids might have significant behavior changes. They may start acting out. They might start being aggressive. They might have these other behaviors and symptoms. And really the treatment is going to be the same as for an adult in the sense of saying, okay, what is this kid struggling with? What are the symptoms? Therapy with kids looks a little bit different because they process things different. I am not a kid therapist. There's lots of fabulous kid therapists in Billings, and I say, yes, go play with them. Give me the adults. I'll let the children play with others. But there's also medications. Medications might work a little bit differently on a kiddo. And so that's why it's so important then that, and that's one of the things that I really try to emphasize with my clients is that there has to be a team approach, right? Like we have to say, okay, so I would not do this, but if I was to treat an adolescent, if I was to treat a kiddo, I would say, okay, I want to be able to talk to the pediatrician. I want to be able to talk to, if there's a psychiatrist involved, I want to be able to talk to the family. I want to be able to get a whole picture of what's going on. And because kids in particularly, we have an opportunity to teach them at a young age that, hey, if you feel anxious or stressed or depression, you can cope with it. I think that's one of the things that I've seen a lot of folks recognize is that Growing up as kids, we did feel like, okay, I just have to be okay. It's going to be fine. Instead of like, oh, no, you're not okay. So kiddo, here's some coping tools. I mean, how cool is that to be able to teach a kid, this is how I deal with my emotions. This is how I deal with my stress. And to have coping tools going into adulthood. I mean, if we could do a better job of mental health and substance use prevention, education at an early age, our society would be so much different. But we just, I mean, that's a whole soapbox. I won't jump on that. I'm in a good mood. Don't make me in a bad mood.
Exactly.
Right. But there's so many things that we could just do differently. It would have a huge impact on our society.
Absolutely. I just want people to know, obviously, RimRock is recovery. RimRock is there to help all of your addiction issues, whatever the addiction may be. That's what, you know, RimRock is very much known for. But also, you know, as Dr. Malcolm kind of illustrated today, they do just a lot of general mental health work there as well. So if somebody's thinking, you know, that they have some questions about mental health or seeing a therapist, what's the best way to just reach out with you guys and make that first connection with RimRock?
So they can either call us, 406-248-3175, and the admissions department can kind of help triage and figure out where they need to be sent to, like what department, or they can email us. We're on the web. I love email personally. I love email. It's my friend. You know, email and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. What can I do? Maybe it starts with an assessment. I like to start with an assessment, just in the sense of then we get kind of a full picture of what really, you know, a person might need. And so that's where they start. They just reach out and say, hey, I need some help. What can you guys do for me?
There you go. And somebody said, Dr. Malcolm, you're brilliant. I would like to work under you and learn from you. Are you guys hiring?
We are hiring. It's so funny because we are also, I have interns. That's like, I've learned that it's hard to hire counselors, so I'm going to grow them while they're interns. So yes, we are hiring. Go to rimrock.org, click on the careers tab, and there's several open positions. We are always looking for people who are motivated to making this, you know, this system, the substance use mental health system, work better and helping people live better lives. We're always looking for people who want to do that. So absolutely, rimrock.org, or reach out via email. We would love to talk to you.
There you go. Dr. Malcolm Horn, the one and only from RimRock here in Billings. Dr. Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us today, and enjoy the rest of your week. And stay safe out there. And let's breathe. Let's work on some mindfulness, some self-care. Let's reduce the anxiety. Dr. Malcolm, thanks again. Have a great morning. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.